Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic, no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Major Spoilers podcast covers news, reviews, and of course, spoilers, and goes into details about the topics discussed. So if you haven't read, listened, or watched the items we talk about, you might want to come back later.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Rodrigo.
And I'm Steven, and you're listening to the Major Spoilers podcast, the podcast for pop culture and comic fans. This week, it's going to be an interesting show because we're going to talk about Black Panther without actually having to talk about Black Panther because two people on this show haven't seen Black Panther. All this and more on the Major Spoilers podcast, issue 1002. Thank you, everybody, for checking us out this week. Rodrigo is back feeling a little bit better, I think.
Yeah.
And Matthew is back from his adventures to outer space. Welcome back, Matt.
After that hurtful shot, maybe I'll just take the week off again.
What hurtful shot?
Two people.
I really did. I'll say this. Let's do the news because then I'll make my comment. So, Rodrigo, please kick us off.
All right. Speaking of Black Panther, as we talked about last week, or somebody did, Black Adam took a tumble at the box office as Black Panther Wakanda Forever climbed to the number one spot, bringing in $330 million worldwide. Locally, wow. Wakanda Forever brought in $180 million. The film did a lot of heavy lifting, especially from director and co-writer Ryan Coogler, who decided to move ahead with the movie following the death of Chadwick Boseman in 2020. While Black Panther, Wakanda Forever is the largest November opening for North America, the global take could have been higher, but China banned the film due to the depiction of queer characters in the film.
Yeah, so spoiler alert, Rodrigo, you're about to go see a movie that there's a couple of characters who are in a relationship to one another, and China don't like that. It's going to be hard to talk about Black Panther because, the movie does a lot of heavy lifting. It is clear that, little minor spoiler.
Okay.
And this also concerns me very much. I mean, it's a great way to tell a story and to get into some character depth, but it seems like ever since Endgame, Marvel's strategy has been for everything that they do. This includes the TV shows, this includes the movies, et cetera. A character who is going through extreme grief, making a terrible decision that they then have to clean up. And that is everything. That is WandaVision. That is Loki. That is Thor: Love and Thunder. That is Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. And I'm okay with it, but once you know the gimmick, I guess, or once you've peered behind the curtain and you see the theme that they're dealing with, it's everywhere and it's hard to escape. And I think that brought down a little bit of my enjoyment from the film.
Well, maybe that's how you have to see it. You have to see it as a theme rather than necessarily like the gimmick or the
MacGuffin or whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Black Panther, Shuri, Deadliest of Species. For some reason, it's kind of
Shuri, you jest.
And I will say that there are some themes in that also tie back to this movie. I'll try to keep those spoilers as limited as possible because we're trying to get through this show, everybody, because Rodrigo's going to go see the show like right after we do this.
Yeah.
So we want to get through this, but let's some sad news. Not only did we lose Chadwick Boseman back in 2020 and they still did Black Panther anyway, Sad news for the Batman community, because Kevin Conroy passed away last week at the age of 66. He passed away from cancer. The voice actor is best known for the voice of Batman on Batman the Animated Series, as well as in games and movies, and a rare live action appearance during the CW's Crisis on Infinite Earth event a couple of years ago. Man, he is going to be missed. F cancer. And it, yeah, that is a tough blow. Someone, I had been having a great Friday last week when someone said, "Oh, Steven, did you hear?" And I was like, son of a gun.
Yep. Yeah, I started seeing stuff come in, because for some reason I was up very early on that day. And at first, you know, it's the usual, like, oh, this is probably just a rumor or whatever. But then it was confirmed, and it sucks.
Yeah, it does. Was, and I don't mean this to sound callous, but was there anything beforehand? Because I don't remember anyone Kevin being like, you know,
no.
Or
in fact, issues, or we were talking a little bit about Kevin Smith in the pre-show this week. Uh-huh. Kevin said he was just talking to Kevin Conroy a few days ago via Twitter about getting him to come on and do one of these live things that Kevin is doing at his movie theater in New Jersey. And it seemed like everything was just going to be fine. And if he was, he certainly didn't say anything that he had any kind of cancer. And the reports that I have seen, again, the early reports, I don't know what form of cancer he passed away from. Could have been just the same as Chadwick Boseman, right? You know, he had what, pancreatic cancer, or what was the?
I think Chadwick's was
colon cancer. I believe that's also what got Alex Trebek.
And so even the only people who knew that Chadwick Boseman had cancer were people that were close to him and people that were working in the movies. So when he died, people were like, holy crap. Oh, you know, this seems sudden. And it's like, well, some people knew, and he tried to keep the rest quiet. So, colon cancer. So Kevin Conroy could have been the same way.
And, you know, it has been a weird couple of years where, you know, people haven't been in public, and you're like, all of a sudden, oh, my gosh. It's been 2 years since we've seen like Christina Applegate, and her health has changed. And it may be one of those things. You know, I do remember when he was in that Crisis crossover, he was playing an elderly, you know, kind of frail Batman in a, like a Dark Knight Returns exosuit. And I was thinking that was all for character, but now I'm like,
well, so the official announcement from Warner Brothers said a short battle with cancer. So this may have just been one of these things where he just suddenly found out. And certainly, to me, and again, not an expert, but anytime someone says a short battle with cancer, to me, that's always pancreatic cancer to me, for whatever reason.
Sure.
Stomach cancer, that takes people so quickly when that's diagnosed. So So here's the deal, everybody. We're not going to go a whole long time talking about this, because I know everybody knows who Kevin Conroy is and knows how great he is. So here's what we're going to do next week for top five. We are going to do top five Batman the Animated Series episodes. So we're going to do our favorite episodes, talk about those next should week we, on top five.
Should we take a moment and just say we're not going to do Heart of Ice, so that it's not everybody's number one? Or
no, because okay.
That's the thing. Heart of Ice wouldn't be my number one.
I don't know if it's my number one either. I'm going to have to go back and look. It's definitely going to probably be in my top five somewhere, but
Heart of Ice is really good one.
But it goes to show that we can talk about Batman the Animated Series episode by names, the names of the episodes, and we all automatically know what episode it is.
We
are old. And speaking of Avengers of the Night, Spawn is turning 30 years old next week. If you say 30 is old, I suppose
the grand scheme of things, especially when we talk about relatively new characters.
Right. And we talk about characters who have been more or less in play since then. Yeah. To celebrate the 30th anniversary of Spawn, Image Comics is releasing nearly all of the December 2022 issues with variant covers featuring, as they refer to him in Spain, El Spanio, Todd McFarlane's greatest creation. If you want to see Spawn with Rick Grimes, boom, you got it. You want to see Spawn with Radiant Pink, bang, it's coming. Spawn and 8 Billion Genies, I don't know why you'd want to see that, but you certainly can. But Image will have that too, and you can check out all of the covers thanks to a happy, happy link that Steven's going to put in this episode's show notes.
Yeah,
personally, I'm looking forward to the one where Spawn crosses over with Harry Potter.
You can see the complete list and all of them in this link that I'm going to post. They released another 10 on Monday that you can also find on the Major Spoilers website. But yeah, I was hoping for a, what's that Cowboy Spawn thing? What's that series?
Gunslinger Spawn.
I was hoping we were going to get a Gunslinger Spawn with a Spawn variant cover.
That would be cool.
But by the way, his like name should be Spawnslinger.
Should be Spawny McSpawnspawn?
No, Spawny McSpawnspawn is actually Spock's wife from that episode, Amok Time.
Mm. I thought that was T'Pau. Yeah.
No, T'Pau is a sound effect.
No, that's Kerpow.
No, T'Pau is what happens when Wonder Woman just clocks Dr. Psycho right in the nards. Just T'Pau.
Hey, listen, everybody. Everybody's freaking out over this supposed shutdown of Twitter. Like, for literally the last week. Mm-hmm. I hear tomorrow is the last day of Twitter, everyone. Listen, if you're freaked out that you're no longer going to have any contact with us on Twitter space, hey, don't worry. We're still going to be there. What you can do is you can join us over on our Discord server. The Major Spoilers Discord server is completely free. We want to see you join our growing community of awesome spoilerites over there. There's all sorts of channels. There's all sorts of discussion groups. There's all sorts of cool things that you can do when you join us over on our Discord server. The Major Spoilers Discord server is completely free. A link in the show notes. Cat gifts waiting your arrival.
You know, I'm going to ride Twitter into the ground like 30,000 pounds of bananas, screaming, "Go, God, let it be a dream."
Here's the thing. It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. From what I hear, Jay Leno may own it soon.
Well,
I
don't know. How is Jay Leno doing?
It's not about it going anywhere. It's about it being unusable for what people are using it now.
Yes.
I believe that Jay is in stable condition. I want to say that. I want to say that it was actually a gasoline fire.
It was. I mean, but he suffered serious burn injuries. I mean, his car caught fire and he wound up in the hospital. So that's why I was curious if maybe he was doing okay if he was stable. He's 72 years old.
Somebody had made the awful joke that it was a Tesla that he was driving, and I'm just like, oof.
Yeah, that may
be. And then I made the same joke here on the show, so I'm probably a bigger jerk, and I apologize. I'm a bad person, and I should.
No, it was in your brain because of the news.
That's true.
Let us move on and take a look at some reviews.
Some revoir.
Let's see. We need to go back a couple of weeks. Magic the Gathering, Rodrigo. That's a big thing. That's a big card game that all the kids are playing these days. I hear that there's a comic book adaptation of Magic the Gathering.
That's all the kids. Like a lot of the stuff we talk about, Magic the Gathering is in the news for non-pop culture reasons. Like its stock kind of crashed because they're like overinflating their products.
Yeah.
Speculator mentality.
One of which is the Magic the Gathering comic book.
Which is weird because, so, you know, it's Magic the Gathering, it's a comic book, but they only call it Magic.
They
is the
do.
Official
yeah.
title, which it's is like really
magic.
Weird.
Yeah, it's confusing because if you look at the thing, it just says Magic number 20.
Mm-hmm.
In some of the promotional materials, it just says Magic. But if you go to previews, it actually says Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
So it's like it has a file name, like its file name is Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, we're just calling it, you know, Magic.
Right.
Like the cool kids do.
So what are the Planeswalkers up to?
So this is...
They're walking on planes, man.
Yeah. So I believe the comics right now are following and expanding the story, but they're behind a few stories. So this is the wrap-up of when Niv-Mizzet became a super dragon and everybody had to beat him up, and then Tezzeret was going to do a thing, and then everybody beat him up. So this is the wrap-up.
What was the character's name?
Tezzeret.
Gesundheit.
And what's the other guy's name?
Niv-Mizzet.
Ah, curse you, Superman. I'll see you in 90 days.
Yeah, so if you like... The Planeswalkers, there's lots of Planeswalkers in this. Chandra's in it, Garrick's in it. I realize that Stephen and Matthew don't know.
I am. Say, listen,
characters. Well, I know Shonda.
She created Grey's Anatomy.
I will say this.
If I told you that one of the names that I'm going to say during this review is made up, and you have to guess which one at the end.
I would not guess it.
Yeah. You would not get it.
I am constantly in awe of people like you, Rodrigo, and Ashley. You just knowing all this lore and stuff about Magic the Gathering and some other things, and Ashley with her Tolkien expertise, mm-hmm, just constantly amazes me how you guys can go off and talk about.
He's not in awe of me having read 70 scramptillion comic books.
Well, I am, but
just,
I mean,
it just seems impressive because it's not something that you're in.
Right.
If we started talking about like the Rockford Files,
yeah.
You would have that access of like immediate access of knowledge.
Yes, I'm going into my Rockford Castle right now. I'm about to unleash some knowledge on you as soon as you're done with this review.
Oh, well, there you go. So yes.
Angels only in four episodes.
This, if you're looking for your that ever so coveted jumping on point, this isn't it. This is the end of a storyline. I will say that this comic would also probably be banned in China for the same reason. There is some queer expressions of affection in it. So if that sells it more for you or less, I guess that's up to you. But the art is fantastic. Iguara does a great job. You know, these characters have like very specific looks. It helps that all of these characters have been very thoroughly designed by the Magic brand team, right? It's like, if people are drawing Superman, they're going to get him right because Superman has been designed and only redesigned a few times. And there's like a Superman in your brain that looks a particular way. Just like that, these planeswalkers, they've been on multiple cards, and so the things that they change from their outfits or something are very carefully talked about by the brand team, so they're all very recognizable. If you know who Jace or Kino are, they will just immediately be you the moment that you see them, you're gonna be like, oh well, that's that character. So, you know, is this something you should pick up? If you're planning on picking up the ones before it, yes, because again, this is the last issue. I just kind of randomly jumped in to see what was happening, and it wasn't bad. I was like, okay, yeah, I know this story beat, even though I wasn't too looking at the storyline too closely as this was happening. And the nice thing about it is that it expands it, right? A lot of the time as Magic the Gathering fans, we read the story and yeah, sometimes it's like prose, sometimes it's like a small novel that you can read, but even then you don't get like that fully fleshed out thing. Like Magic has this sort of like oral history of like what happened during like antiquities. It's like, ah, well, this guy did this and this guy did this. How do you know? Well, there's some books floating around that are out of print that somebody read and then told me about, right? So it's nice to have something where you can read it and you can see these characters actually in real time interact with each other. So I had a good time reading it. I'm giving it 3 slices of meatloaf. You should check it out if you're into Magic, or maybe just check out the next issue after this.
So question, so you said that does this tie into a card set? Like this says the Battle of Ravnica rages on. Is this telling the story of one of their expansion sets that they had? Or is this just like, nah, we're just totally making these stories up?
They're not making the stories up. This, I think, comes at the... This is like the fallout from War of the Spark.
Mm, okay.
So
if you played the War of the Spark...
Beast Wars, right?
So if you played the War of the Spark expansion, and then you read this 4-issue arc in this, you would be like, oh, so this now expands on the game that I just played.
Hopefully, yes. Okay. Right. That's the idea. But as I've said before, randomized cardboard is a very difficult way to tell a story.
Yes.
So if you've played it, if you've sat down and gone to pre-releases and release parties and play standard or whatever, you may like some of the story might like titrate into your brain, you know. The way that you would know this is by going to the Magic the Gathering website and reading their stories, which is just...
Yeah. I don't have to do that because I went to high school with Urza.
He's coming back. The Brothers War just released. So if you've if you ever wanted to check out the album of who screwed up Dominaria the hardest, that's kind of what the set is about.
It was Mishra, by the way.
Well.
Okay, so the character that you made up is clearly Quinoa, because that's not a planeswalker. That's a grain.
That is exactly right. There is a planeswalker in this named Nico, and I flipped the name to Kino, and I figured I could get away with it. But yeah, good job, yeah, Matthew.
You can. You can.
You probably, although I will say, I'm pretty sure you caught me because you know me. You know when I'm trying to get something by you.
I'm just saying, after 15 years of spending every Tuesday night together.
Yep. It, yeah.
And some talking to each other more than we talk to our wives.
All right, Matthew, what came out last week from Marvel Comics?
Avengers number 62, which is sort of a...
Is this a lead-up to the big Avengers Assemble thing?
It is, and it also isn't. Okay, so Avengers Assemble is the big last hoop-de-doo of Jason Aaron's run of Avengers, which has been going on since, like, 2018.
Right.
But the last several issues of Avengers have been really interesting, and what they remind me of more than anything are the episode of Critical Hit when Rodrigo says, you know what, we're going to abstract this, and he starts telling us all these cool side stories, and none of the main characters are in it, but there's this great stuff about Torque and a kitten. Avengers number 62, written by Jason Aaron, art by Fiorelli. What is his first name? Ivan Fiorelli. Is another one of those moments. Essentially, Aaron has been building the story of the Avengers as archetypes that keep recurring throughout the years. And the Avengers, the original Avengers of 1 million years BC, were founded by Odin and Agamotto. You may remember Agamotto as the guy who created the eye and the amulet and all of the Agamotto the things.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first Black Panther, the first Iron Fist, the original Starbrand. I'm not going to acknowledge.
You laughed too late.
The original Starbrand, the first Moon Knight, and what they're doing is they're fighting the literal devil in Mephisto. And so, for the last six or seven issues, the Avengers have been traveling in time to various eras, and most of the focus has been on the people they're visiting. So we saw a World War II episode with, you remember
Captain America?
Nightcrawler's sister slash girlfriend,
yeah.
Magic, he made Zardos. Yeah. Her great-grandfather was the Sorcerer Supreme in World War II. And so he's this kind of a Nick Fury type with magic powers. And of course, there's a ghost writer who rode a shark, a Polynesian ghost writer called the Shark Rider. And they've gone back through time. This whole episode, this whole issue, spends time with Agamotto. And of course, Agamotto, being essentially immortal, travels literally hundreds of thousands of years throughout the story. And we keep seeing bits and pieces of this ongoing storyline with Agamotto. And finally, at the end of the issue, Agamotto brings together the remaining members of his original tribe of Avengers to meet face-to-face with the current 9-person Avengers team, which, by the way, has Nighthawk on it now, which I think is interesting. Aaron has literally been writing Batman as an Avenger. And then Avengers Assemble, I believe, is a two-part special wraps up everything that Aaron has been doing on this main Avengers book. And I have been a huge proponent of Jason Aaron's Avengers because it's crazy. Just absolutely brilliant, like over the top creative strange moments, but a lot of it is kind of what if stuff. We met a character who is an Iron Fist of an alternate dimension, who is in fact Thor, a Thor who was deemed unworthy and so had to learn how to fight without his hammer, which just follows him around and mocks him. So he's this, you know, fisty, iron fist, kicky, punchy guy with a floating hammer behind him sort of laughing. And when you get that sort of creativity and it just keeps overflowing and overflowing and overflowing, I love it. I feel like it's great. It's just building and building and building. It's something like what Grant Morrison did when they wrote Multiversity at DC. all of these vast concepts that just pour out of this central crux of the Avengers have been around forever. The thing that also comes down to that and that we've seen since then in DC is a lot of those alternate people, those alternate realities have been destroyed. The people come back, they get killed or stupid things happen, or they cross over with the main reality and get murdered by Flashpoint Batman because some reason. And so
synergy.
Yeah. I feel I'm worried about the Avengers of 1 million BC because other writers are going to pick this up. That said, that has no effect on this book. This is really neat. This is a really good story, and it features a final page splash of the current Avengers team. Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, the Valkyrie, Phoenix, Namor the Submariner, Captain Marvel, a Star Brand, and Nighthawk slash Batman. And so I realized at the end of the issue, this is the first time I think we've seen them all together because the arc has been so back and forth. So I'm really looking forward to Avengers Assemble. Normally, I would give these, you know, the last few issues of Avengers 4.5, 5 stars. This one is 4. Very good book. Really well drawn. Fiorelli does really wonderful things with fire. So a book that has Phoenix and a couple of ghostwriters in it is just 100% solid. And I don't think I've seen a better original Caveman Starbrand. Even Ed Brubaker, who created original Caveman Starbrand, hasn't made him look this cool and feral and punchety-punchety. But it's also, I think, the last issue of Avengers. And it was solicited as a big close, a big conclusion. And it's not. It's a penultimate chapter leading into a new miniseries. And so I had to knock it down a little bit. 4 slices of meatloaf for Avengers 62. If you've been following Avengers, grab it. If all of this wacky, crazy, over-the-topness sounds good, grab it. If you're the kind of person who goes, Thor has too many powers, stay away from this book. And also, don't at me. I'm sorry. I'm not going to argue with people anymore. Twitter is sinking slowly into the ocean, and I'm just sort of trying to stay above the water, man. That's all I want.
So we have the eye of Agamotto. Mm-hmm. Is there a finger of Agamotto? Is there like a nose of Agamotto, a left thigh or a knuckle?
Vecna? Yeah. Vecna.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, right? You know, because, there's the Emerald Eye of Ekron, and we've seen the Emerald Head of Ekron, and we've seen his whole body. That's why I was wondering, is there like a mystic thing that's like the finger or the hand of Agamotto that lights up on the fingertips?
I will give you the Marvel Magic 1,000-foot view. Agamotto is one of the founding magic-y. He's one of, you know how Doctor Strange talks about the Vishanti?
Yeah.
A group of good wizards. The Vishanti are Ashtar, Agamotto, and I think Gaia. But Agamotto was blind. He was born blind, but learned to see magically through his third eye. That third eye then became the eye of Agamotto. There's also a lesser Amulet of Agamotto, which has similar but not quite as cool a power, and I believe an Orb of Agamotto, which allows you to scry over long distances. Agamotto, you know how Bigby is all about the hands and the punching? Bigby's thrusting fist and Bigby's upturned middle finger.
Bigby's interposing Bigby's.
Yeah, and Mordenkainen is all about shelters. Agamotto is all about visions. So if you can look in it, look through it, or look out of it, it's an Agamotto thing. Everything else is either Bigby or Elminster. I think Elminster, everything's a hat.
Elminster is actually all about his staff.
I just want to see a flaming hand of Agamotto that's just a candle. Again, with each of the fingers.
That's Vecna. Yeah.
Yeah. So the issue is that you're falling into this thing that I think has really taken DC Comics, which is that a lot of the time writers imagine that there's all these boxes that need to be checked, right?
Right. And
like that's why we ended up with 17 Lantern Corps.
Well, that Geoff Johns is in love with the rainbow. And so everything he creates is a rainbow. There's a rainbow of Shazams and there's a rainbow of lanterns. And, You know, I can't wait till he gets to come and write X-Men and we get to meet the red, yellow, green, and purple beasts.
No. Don't speak it into the universe, Matthew, because the universe
I'm just waiting.
Will it into existence.
Wait till Jaime Reyes meets,
ladies and gentlemen.
He's already met the Red Beetle.
When Geoff Johns ruins the X-Men. Right. You can go back to this episode, 1002.
Yellow Beetle where coming Matthew in 2024.
Willed this into existence by shouting it into the universe. You know what
Matthew's
else was shouted
magic
into?
Is all about talking.
You know what else was shouted into the universe? Gold Goblin number one from Marvel Comics out this week. Christopher Cantwell, Lan Medina on the art. Here's the thing, and I even spoke about this last week on the show. I am not a fan of the villain being the protagonist. Okay. I'm not a fan of that. So I went into this with is this just going to be Norman Osborn pretending to be good while he's still doing evil things? And the answer is kinda in this. So after the events of, I forget what issue 94 or 95 of Spider-Man, the Sin Eater took away all of Norman's sins.
Right.
As far as, I guess, absolution and him doing horrible things. But so now Norman is trying to be good. He's trying to be reformed. And I have nothing wrong with a villain being reformed if it is, if it's being done with pure motive, right, in this. Mm-hmm. In this case, Norman cannot escape the Goblin moniker. Everyone knows that he's dressed in this Gold Goblin costume, and he's going out and helping Spider-Man. And yet he is tormented day and night by all of the horrible things that he has done. So if you thought the original breaking of Gwen Stacy's neck was gruesome, oh boy, you're going to get about 12 pages of Gwen Stacy's neck constantly being broken in this issue. You know, he is trying to say, I'm reformed, but I still am tormented by my past, and I'm trying to deal with that. I don't think that's how the series is going to end. I think he is going to turn into, well, I'm pretending that I'm being good, but really I just like to kill people. So I guess if I'm killing bad guys, I get my thing and the public gets their thing. Ha 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 ha. Or however Norman Osborn laughs.
Norman Osborn laughs like,
I think he's Spider-Man. Probably just like, ha ha. I just Willem Dafoe. That's how you have to picture him.
Willem Dafoe.
So the problem though is with this story of villain going good is we kind of already saw that with Doc Ock when he was the superior Spider-Man, right? Where he suddenly finds himself in Peter's body and it's like, oh wait, I'm the Spider-Man. I guess I can do good. Why would I do good? Oh, wait, it's kind of feels good to do good things. And kind of at the end of this issue, Norman gets a moment where some little kids come up to him and they're like, oh, you're the Gold Goblin. And he wants to say, I'm not the Goblin. But they're like, oh, can we have your autograph? And he's like taken by this going, oh, people are not afraid of me. Okay, let me sign something. And he just happened to be fighting Jack Lantern, who had just stolen a skeleton. And the kid hands him this skull, and he's signing Gold Goblin on the top of the skull, which should be everything you need to know about how I think the rest of the series is going to go. I don't think it's going to go well, which is kind of sad. Norman Osborn has always had a mental health issue that I don't think has ever been addressed or even attempted to be addressed in the comic books, except for pump him full of drugs and lock him up. And I think that is also going to be part of the downfall of Norman Osborn going forward. The art is fine. It feels a little bit like colored pencil, colored pastels kind of stuff. It's not ink and paint is what I'm trying to say. So it has a very non-traditional comic booky look, which I wasn't a super fan of, but I think it's fine in this, especially when you're dealing with somebody who is being plagued by visions of broken neck Gwen Stacy following him around and trying to have a conversation. I have got very mixed feelings on this. There are things of this that I really, really despise, and there are things about it that I can kind of say, oh, I can see where they could take this in a positive direction. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be let's return to the status quo. So if you want to go pick it up, I say go do it. I think it's an okay issue. I'm only going to give it 3 slices of meatloaf out of 5, but if you really want to see Norman Osborn go good again? Question mark. I mean, he's already been mayor. Has Norman been president, or is that only Lex Luthor that's been?
Lex Luthor was president. I believe Norman was.
He was mayor.
Okay. Right, and I believe he was like a councilman in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, for anybody who's reading, what's the one that has Jace as Batman? What's that series?
I Am Batman.
No. Oh, yes, I was thinking that one, but I got it wrong. I'm thinking of the Flash series. Currently in the Flash series, there's a guy who is the mayor who just has decided to hire the Rogues to battle crime, aka Norman Osborn as the mayor of New York City, hiring the Thunderbolts to do that. So it feels like they're doing that story again. So you live long enough, Matthew, you're eventually going to see every story redone 200 times. And part of me feels like this is a story that we've seen already done a million times. I'm hoping that they do something different in it. And so there you go.
Maybe they'll just like kill Norman off and not use him for a while.
Yeah, right. Three slices of meatloaf. I mean, it would be fascinating if they did. And at that very last moment, you know, he was absolved of all of his sins, truly. But I don't think that's going to happen. Three slices of meatloaf. It's an okay book. I think those of you who are truly into Norman Osborn as your favorite character of all time are going to eat this up. But that also disturbs me just a little bit. So
there I'd go. Also like for you to identify yourself beforehand.
Yes,
so I can make sure I have my mace.
I talked about this last time. Same way with people who idolize Black Adam, same people who idolize Darth Vader. That just bothers me. And so
Black Adam is a jerk.
Well, he is, but you know, why then do you idolize someone who is a villain? And I always see I don't see Black Adam as an anti-hero. I just see him as a villain who people have.
Well, you saw him murder 3 million people.
Well, I mean, yes, I wasn't there, but I heard the stories. So yes, I,
Steven, you're the only person who remembers that 52 happened. Okay. You can't disavow now.
No. I mean, I really wasn't there.
Mark Wade doesn't even remember 52.
I wasn't there in Baalia when he killed 3 million people because the four horsemen came in and killed his beloved
idol. Dun, 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 dun.
Anyway, hey, listen, everybody. We have only covered a small fraction of all the comics that are out this week. There are literally hundreds of comics hitting the comic book stands, both digitally and physically at your local comic shop. You can find more reviews over at our website, majorspoilers.com. You can certainly go over there and check everything out. So go do that. Also, we want to send a thank you out to everyone who is part of our Major Spoilers community. This week, we welcome the newest member of our Patreon club, Rex Harshbarger. That sounds like a comic book hero if I ever heard one. Rex Harshbarger.
Oh. I think I know that kid.
Do you?
Well, Rex good. Harshbarger.
Yeah, what's his superpower?
I love that name. Harshbarger. Let's see. He barges in, but he's very rude about it. He's the Harshbarger. He joined the Legion of Superheroes in 1955.
Yeah.
Well,
he started out as Kid Harshbarger.
Yeah.
But then when they do the adult stuff, he goes
right. Rex.
Yeah, I like Rex. Right. Rex. Thank you, Rex.
Rex is Latin you for are king, our so he's King Harshbarger.
Yes, Imperious Rex. Dear listeners, we are waiting to give you a shout out on our show. All you need to do is join us over on our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers. Not only do you get shouted out like we did with Rex, we also get access to a bunch of other stuff. You get access to a bunch of other stuff as well. And go check it out. Join us today. Let's see if we can get 96 new people to join us. That's you right there. Who's not joining up. $2 a month, $5 a month. Come on. It's bring not that friends. Big of a deal. Yeah, bring your friends.
Wake the kids. Phone the neighbors.
I don't know about phoning the neighbors because they may not like you doing that at 10 o'clock at night or right in the middle of Rodrigo having to rush out to go see a Black Panther.
But they're listening to this tomorrow. Hello, future people.
Well, it may be too early for them to be yelling at their neighbors to join the Patreon.
Moles and trolls.
So, yes, but definitely go join our Patreon community, patreon.com/majorspoilers. A lot of really cool stuff coming in 2023. You don't want to miss out on any of it. Get over there and sign up today. All right. There's a Black Panther Wakanda Forever in the movie theaters. And there is a Black Panther Shuri Deadliest of Species in this here comic book.
Yeah.
In the comic book, Black Panther is dead. Dead, I tell you. At the hands of Dr. Doom. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was on the morning stream with Scott Johnson and Brian Abbott. Poor Scott Johnson. Everybody send some thoughts out to Scott Johnson. He's got the COVID, and he has the COVID bad. Like, he did a tweet today, a voice tweet, and it sounded like he was on his deathbed. So please, everybody, send some positive thoughts out to Scott. He is just a bucket of COVID sick, and his wife, Kim, both are a bucket of sick right now. So thoughts go out to Scott. But a couple of weeks ago on the morning stream, we were talking about the Black Panther movie that was coming out. And Brian Ibbett was like, oh, man, I hope it's revealed that Dr. Doom is the villain of the movie. And I was like, I don't think that's going to happen, but whatever. And I can't help but wondering if he had read Black Panther, Shuri, Deadliest of Species, because Dr. Doom ends up killing T'Challa. And and then everyone is like, who's going to be the next Black Panther? And Shuri's like, I shall be the Black Panther. And the Panther god is no. And then Storm is like, I must save my husband. And they're like, OK, you got to go into the spirit world and fight. Not death, but the Reaper. No, who is that guy? I think it's the Reaper.
Elvis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to go fight Elvis. And so Elvis fights Arroyo and T'Challa. And then at the same time, you've got Moreland is back and he's hungry. Everybody loves Moreland. You're a big Moreland fan, aren't you, Rodrigo?
Moreland in this is like
hubcaps on a tractor. There's no reason for Moreland.
Reading this, you know that scene in Monty Python where runs in Holy Grail, where the knights is going to like crash the wedding and like kill everybody there, but the first thing that happens is you just see him running for a full like 3 minutes towards the it's just like they cut back to the thing and then they cut back to him and it's like and he's that's what Moreland felt like in this, and
yes,
the payoff of Moreland felt very much like this as well.
I would agree with you because he is just there to get our two heroes out of their death situation. You know, a soul enters, a soul can enter, and a soul can leave, but somebody has to stay behind. And you're right. It just feels like this is a way to write Moreland. I mean, he was already out of the picture. We bring him in for 4 issues and then he's gone again.
Moreland sucks.
So what'd you guys think of what was the other part of this story? Shuri becoming Black Panther.
I remember when this book came out, and I remember my question about it was, dear God, why J. Scott Campbell? And I realized that, you know, not everybody, you know, feels the way that I do about particular artists, but I really do think that that's part of my issue with this is, in the modern parlance, in the modern context, when you think Shuri, you think kind of Letitia Wright, and Letitia Wright played the character as late teens, maybe early 20s. In my head, Shuri is 16, 18, 19. And so this whole story, drawing her as this incredibly pneumatic woman with the balcony from which one might do Shakespeare, was very off-putting. It was very weird to me, and I don't remember whether or not I read these, you know, fully back in the day. This was at a point when I worked in the comic shop, and so when I was bagging the books, I would kind of peruse them so I knew what was going on. But I don't remember being that bothered by the character design. And then also I realized about halfway through issue 2 that this is Ken Lashley doing Barry Windsor Smith, like just flat out drawing in the style of Barry Windsor Smith. If you go back and look at his Weapon X series that he did in Marvel Comics Presents a Scramptillion years ago, it's literally that. And I'm just like, the visuals throughout this whole trade paperback were very disturbing. And I believe, as DJ Khaled says, since I picked this, I kind of played myself, you know?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. Thank goodness.
The trick is, don't play yourself. Congratulations. You played yourself.
All right. So a little bit of spoiler alert, Rodrigo, cover your ears for just a moment.
No.
The portrayal of Shuri in this series and the theme that goes along with her and the reasons why she wants to be the Black Panther, I felt was the most direct tie to the movie. Other than that, there's nothing in this book that is related to the movie except except for that part.
It's like Namor's in this, but he's in there like for 5 seconds. Yeah. And he's like, yo, what? He's like, what's up, T'Challa? T'Challa's like, yo, Namor, what's up? And like, that's it.
Yeah.
This is the point where Namor and T'Challa were actually getting along.
Yeah.
They were like together as members of the Illuminati.
Spoiler alert. Namor's in the Wakanda Forever movie.
That's not a spoiler alert. He's in every single trailer.
Well, that's what I'm saying is the that's another similarity. But here, Namor basically just shows up to be like a facilitator for what happens next. And he's like, hey, so just so you know, I'm gonna join Doom's clubhouse, and I think you should too. And T'Challa's like, no, I don't think so. And he's like, all right, well. He's waiting outside for you with a bunch of Doom bots, so don't say I didn't lure you here under false pretenses.
Having come off the movie and then reading this, and I kind of, as I said, seeing the kind of some similarities in theme or tone in Shuri, both in the book and the movie, I thought was fine. But the rest of this book, I got to be honest, was kind of a messy mess for me. Only because it's like there is so much going on and so much, and it may go back to the art, Matthew. So much is flying at your face. Here's some guy drinking blood and spitting fire, and this Moreland guy doing stuff that just, you know, walking across the page and killing people left and right. That just, I mean, it's a lot to take in. It is like, I don't know, sitting in the cockpit of a jet going, you know, 1,000 miles an hour, and your eyeballs are just peeling back. From your head. That's kind of how
turns
I felt
out
reading
you're the
this.
Pilot.
And that's kind of how the felt reading this. I'm not saying this is bad. I just like, it's a lot to cram into 5 issues. I don't even think this was 6 issues. I think
it
this
was
a 5 issue.
This
series.
Is like the first 5 issues of it. And this is the thing. I don't necessarily feel the need to dig up old wounds.
No. I'm not trying to blame you or anything. I'm just saying that. But this is a lot to take in 5 issues.
And when Reggie Hudlin took over Green Lantern, no, Black Panther. When Reggie Hudlin took over Black Panther in 2008 or 9, there were a lot of things that he went and said, "Yep, we're doing this," and everybody went, "Okay." And he's like, "And also, it's always been like that in the Marvel Universe." So, like, T'Challa and Storm's wedding. Yeah, it was all done in retcon in 2008. And the addition of a younger sister was another example of we popped this up and we put it in here. And that's not necessarily bad. I mean, some of the greatest stories in the world have had massive retcons at the core of them.
Sure.
But this, in retrospect, doesn't necessarily feel like any Black Panther before or to a lesser degree since. And I think that's one of the things that kind of surprised me is in, you know, the modern Black Panther stories, you know, I think they had a Christopher Priest run and a Ta-Nehisi Coates run. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of Black Panther since this that has really ignored a lot of the things that Reggie Hudlin wanted to do here.
Interesting. I was going to say, it seems to me from what I've seen that they keep a lot of this stuff, but yeah, I mean, I haven't read them, so it's interesting to see them like kind of like just kick it to the side.
I'll correct myself. This is 6 issues, but man, it is a fast 6 issues. I mean, honestly, I think I read this in 30 minutes, maybe an hour. It's a fast read.
My biggest problem with this is that out of its place chronologically, out of its zeitgeist, and I know I use that word too much, so you know, learn
spirit
to
of the times.
Yeah, but out of its time and place, it feels weird and awkward. And part of it is because the Black Panther, as we know him, was forever changed by Ryan Coogler's movie, and before that, there were major adjustments to Kirby's original, you know, visions.
Oh, sure.
And we, you know, there have been in the past 15 or 20 years, a lot of major retcons made, changes, adjustments to the Black Panther to sort of bring him to the forefront of the Marvel Universe, to put him on a Captain America, Iron Man, Thor level.
That was the result of Illuminati, right?
To some degree, yeah. And some of it came out, you know, directly out of that Priest run from 2001. But this is a part where, you know, to kind of use that multiverse metaphor, sometimes a story starts to branch off and then somebody else comes back and goes, no, we're not going that way. And so it feels like that branch of the river just sort of ends and you have to go back and then you end off and it goes off in another direction. A lot of the stuff that we see here kind of pops up again, but also changes a lot. So it feels like to me there's some visual aesthetic definitely that made it into the future of Black Panther. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the story here, a lot of what they're trying to say and do just isn't relevant only, you know, what, 10 years later? This is a 2009 book?
So the trade paperback was released in 2018, May of 2018.
Yeah, to coincide with...
Black Panther movie came out in February of 2018. So I have a feeling it's building on the success of that, obviously, because the movie did way better than anybody expected. And so I'm sure there was a lot of demand, and that's why they rushed to get this to the collection. So I don't know what the exact release date is. I would be surprised if this was a 2008 release.
So this is...
I remember you posting the Who's the New Black Panther things on the website. And my brain wants to say that was around 2009 because I was making a joke about B. Arthur being the new Black Panther. And B. Arthur was still alive at the time. Because I remember you posting the picture of who is the new Black Panther that becomes the cover of issue one in this collection on Major Spoilers early on in the Major Spoilers experience.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I would have to, I was trying to get the actual issue open so I could look at it.
Looking like 2009.
Yeah, maybe. Which would be weird for this to come out as a trade like 10 years later, man. That would be really, really weird.
Yeah, that's to go with the movie. But I think that this, now that is like, because I thought that it had come out, that this was like a 2018 book. And right. I'm like, then it doesn't fit. But if it came back, came out 10 years earlier, then it does fit another pattern, right? Which is Marvel spending some time and successfully fleshing out some of its like quote unquote legacy characters, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Most successfully with Iron Fist, right? Where they went through and they recreated the mythology of Iron Fist, and then new writers after that kept adding to it.
Yeah, this is 2000.
So this is kind of, I think this is like the end kind of result of trying to do the same for Black Panther, right? To be like, okay, well, there's a Panther God, there's a magic and a religious side to it that is like legit, right? It's not just like the Black Panther is awesome because he is covered in vibranium and does other. And you know, as like a super duper athlete who maybe had some sort of like magical soldier serum, like they're kind of aligning everything so that part of the important thing is the mantle itself, right? Rather than necessarily the character who wears it, which again feels like what they did with Iron Fist. And like, I want to say that there was at least one other character. Is like I feel
Moon
like
Knight,
they
keep, I think they did that with
So Moon Knight's another good example. I was gonna say White Tiger, but like I don't think White Tiger ever gets any sort of like real. They're like anytime there's a team and they have four people, they're like, who else are we gonna put in here? Like they're like, oh, just throw in White Tiger. I was like, but he died. Just throw in a new White Tiger. Just make up a new White Tiger.
There's like 15 of them. That's okay.
Yeah.
So I can see them releasing this 9 years after its initial run to coincide with the movie release. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. There are some definite themes that you can pick up from this trade that you will see in the movie. Mm-hmm. And I think my satisfaction with this book is my same level of satisfaction with the movie. Is it just okay?
So, I was bugged by this. And I think to some degree it was, you know, art related. So it's going to be, you know, a very specific thing to me, or I guess more of a subjective thing to me, because I have opinions about art, and I feel like if you want J. Scott Campbell on the covers, that's fine. But dear God, why? If it is
2009, you're looking at hitting peak true. J. Scott Campbell in 2009.
He was the new hotness. I want to say he was all over the covers of
Fantastic Four, a lot of stuff. But yeah. But I mean, as far as he was already known going into 2005, 2006. But I would say 9 and 10 is probably about where he kind of hit his peak before tapering off. So,
but I also kind of feel like this is a book that doesn't make sense out of its time frame, not just in terms of what came before, but in terms of what came after. And if you look at this in the cold light of 2022, it's not the book that it would have been if you were, immersed in Illuminati craziness and you're like, hey, Dr. Doom, hey, he's going to come in and punch Namor in the face or something. You know, all of the things that happen in here just kind of come out of a weird left field.
Yeah.
And,
it's definitely trying to do too much.
Yes, absolutely. There's just, I don't know. I feel like the presence of Storm in here is just like a sore thumb. There's little reason for Storm to be a character in this other than somebody really loves Storm and wanted her and T'Challa to be a character, to be a couple. And person came in and went, hey, Marvel, I'm a big name writer doing other stuff. How'd you like me to write Black Panther? Here's what I want to do. And I'm like, I get that. I understand that. And I'm sure there are people that love them as a couple, but I don't know. There's just so much in here that feels like out of the 2011, 2009, whatever it is, context, it just none of it feels consequential. I mean, even the title of this collection isn't Black Panther volume, whatever. It's Black Panther Shuri. Like somehow it's a separate book for people who want to make sure they don't get, girl germs.
Well, and again, if you are someone who came out of the high on the Black Panther movie and you're like, man, Shuri is a great character. And in the first movie, I thought she was a really great fresh breath of air into the Marvel universe, young, energetic, smart, and willing to kind of take a back seat to the hero. I thought was really, really cool in that sense where they weren't trying to push her into the forefront. And so for all of everybody who's just like, Shuri is the best, where can I get more Shuri? Right. Naming this book, Black Panther, Shuri, Deadliest of Species, is like, oh yeah, this is the thing that everybody wanted to see Shuri to kind of step up and, kick some butt and be a big time superhero. I think that's the reason for the title change.
That's actually a good point. Yeah.
So bottom line, Rodrigo.
I think this book suffers the most from the fact that the Black Panther mythos has moved on. Like, if this is this and previous volumes are the introduction to Shuri, this feels like that thing when a character gets created, but they haven't found a good place for her, and being Black Panther's Q is actually a really good place for her and gives her different stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we wouldn't hit that until much later. So it does. It feels like this like transitional period in Black Panther comics and lore in general. I didn't hate it. I thought it was okay, but thumbs up for Moreland. just doing his best and
chewing all and the
just
scenery.
Just being an absolute like plot device, right? Just in every like sense of the word, just being an absolute plot device.
Yeah. I'm going to say check this out from your library. I thought it was fine. I thought it was okay. This isn't the greatest thing that I've ever read, nor is it the worst thing that I've ever read. I certainly found it more enjoyable than the Black Adam book from last week. So check it out from the library. Matthew?
I feel like this one is definitely skippable. It's not that it's terrible. It's not that it's something that you would, throw into the ocean, but it's definitely not my bag. And I feel like it's just not that compelling. I don't think you're going to miss a whole lot if you just say to yourself, okay, Shuri was the Black Panther for a while, and then you move on.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Black Panther, Shuri, Deadliest of Species. You can collect it on your digital apps or trade paperback, $14.99 from Marvel Comics. We are in the middle, or actually near the end, of planning our 2023 trade paperbacks. And dear listener, this is the year where we have included more listener spoilerite recommendations than we have ever done before. And we have about a dozen spots still open. So if you have a trade paperback that you want us to review in 2023, if we haven't done it before, then you need to head over to the Major Spoilers Discord server in the Major Spoilers podcast channel. It's under the shows and streams group. I have a list of all of the titles that we currently are doing and the dates that we're doing them for 2023. And you'll see the open slots and you will see a bunch of recommendations from people. Feel free to put in your recommendation. We cannot wait to see what the recommendations are. We've already got like something. I don't have the complete list here in front of me, but I want to say that there's like of the 40 some episodes that we're going to do next year, because unfortunately a lot of holidays fall right on the on a Tuesday next year. Of the 40 some episodes that we're doing next year, I want to say about half of them right now are all listener suggestions. And cool. I think we can get more than half if you guys will all head over to the Major Spoilers Discord server, jump into the Major Spoilers podcast channel, look at the list, and then shout out what trades you're going to want us to review. So, for example, let me just punch over here. I was looking at the J. Scott Campbell Google Trends over time. I can only go back to 2004, but it looks like in 2004, peak J. Scott Campbell search happened then. And then after that, it just flattens out from that. So there you go if you're trying to find when peak J. Scott Campbell was. For example, going into 2023, we've got The Eater Knot from Jarmo because he wanted us to do that. We've got Demon Days that's coming up. We've got, The Unbelievable Gwenpool is coming up next year. We've also got Death Vigil and a whole lot more. Maybe yours will be in that list. Head over to our Discord server to do that. Now, we mentioned a little bit ago that people are freaking out about the state of the Twitter. Not only can you follow us on Discord, but if you're like, man, I'm afraid that I'm going to miss an important story or one of the big stories over at MajorSpoilers.com. And so for that, I would suggest that all of you go and sign up for the Major Spoilers newsletter. Comes out Monday through Friday, and it is a curated summary of some of our best stories on the site. Not all of the stories on our site that appeared that day or the day before, really, because it comes out at 4 o'clock in the morning and says, hey, here were the top stories on the site yesterday. And so it's there first thing in the morning when you get up. And it's I think it's really good. It's a curated list. You're going to find some really good stuff. And if you don't want to listen to me, maybe you will listen to one of our big fans, Alagnus. He wrote to me and said, or he actually was in the Discord channel, and he says, quote, this daily Major Spoilers newsletter sure has upped my reading of comics. Thank you. So yeah. He's getting a kick out of it. So you want some comic news and reviews and other good stuff in your mailbox first thing in the morning, then head over to the Major Spoilers website. If you're on a web page, it's about halfway down on the right side. If you're on a phone, it's probably towards the bottom of the page. But just look for the little thing that says join the Major Spoilers email list. We'll get you an email in your inbox Monday through Friday, and you'll enjoy it. Why? Well, I think it's pretty... it's pretty obvious. We know that you love comics. We do too. And thank you for listening to this week's show. And we will talk with you again very soon.
I had the X-ray vision of a Superman. I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose, I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic book store guy knew, they kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Think about it, better way. If I was hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little meat would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I back and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Start raving, it's like a man of iron. Might not be surprised if I'm that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. But would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun, being the middle face with a gang sign throwing soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler, whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.